Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good? Great. If you are a guest with us today, we want to say welcome, and we are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to be with us today. And hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table. That would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin, as well as all the rest of you. So take your bulletin out, and let's kind of go over some of the things that are going to be happening right after our morning service. We're going to have Sunday school. And again, we have Sunday school for children all the way up through adults. And so it's a great time for us to be able to get into God's word in a little bit of in a little more detail and a little greater depth than maybe we can in a from a Sunday morning sermon. So hopefully you'll stay and join us for Sunday school today. Wednesday is Joy Lunch at Olive Garden, and if you have the time available to come and join us for lunch at noon on Wednesday, we would love to have you come and just share lunch with us. It's a great time of fellowship. It's a great time of just being able to get to know people in our church, and put that on your calendar if you are available to come and join us. Thursday night at Awana, it's Fruit of the Spirit, and so that'll be a great time. Next Sunday will be communion. We will also receive an offering for the Benevolent Fund. Ladies, your ladies' Christmas party is soon approaching, and if you would like to participate, there's details in there for you to be able to know what to do. Also, there's a sign-up sheet on the information table. If you are planning on attending, please make sure that you sign up on the information table so that those who are organizing it know how to plan. Our Daily Bread devotional books, which start the new quarter in December, are out on the information table. Also, we received from our Daily Bread some little booklets called Christmas Reflections. I think there's 10 devotionals in those. They're out there on the information table as well. Pick one up for yourself. Pick one up for someone who you might think might need some encouragement this holiday season. So just go and get those as you need those. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for worship. Are you? Yes. I'm ready for praise. Are you?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm ready. Is the worship team ready?
Oh, we were born
ready. Oh, they were born ready. Listen to that. God has blessed us so much, right, with the worship team that we have. All right. Let's praise.
Would y'all stand with me this morning? A quick word on worship. Not just we were born ready, you were born ready. God made you to worship. We're going to take a few minutes. If you've never done church music before, if you're new to this, or maybe you're like, oh boy, what are we doing? You know what? This is our opportunity to just let go of the world, let go of the distractions, praise our God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, show Him what He means to us. So let's begin.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. Your worship, you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every tongue.
Oh, every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth.
Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of it today. Yeah. This next song is a clapping song. So if you're ready to clap, it goes like this. That's all you do. You just put them two hands together, okay?
Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He.
Sing that again.
Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He. Let us lift His name up high. Celebrate His grace. For He has redeemed our lives and He reigns on high. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He.
One more time.
Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He.
Let's lift Him up.
Let us lift His name up high. Celebrate His grace. For He has redeemed our lives and He reigns on high.
Last time.
Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is, great and mighty is, great and mighty is He.
Yeah, give Him a round of applause. Come on. Woo! It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Be seated as we continue this morning. We can have a great time praising our God, but that still doesn't negate the fact that we go through life, and we still deal with the difficulties of it. But praise the Lord, He is not powerless. He is there. He is with us. He's the God of angel armies.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? Underneath my feet, You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in Your name, for You alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Oh, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in Your hands. I'm holding on to Your promises. You are faithful. Always by my side.
Thank you that we can trust you, that you're trustworthy and true. You're more faithful than the rising sun. We know that whatever it is we're going through, whatever difficulty we face, it's nothing that you have not already overcome. Lord, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name today. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood. A mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and
so much truth in that hymn that we just sang, that we have nothing to be afraid of because our strength is not in our own strength, but it's in Jesus. It's what he did. It's who he is.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see, and he takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? I know that I am as well. Well, before we dismiss the kids to Children's Church, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 8. But kids, come on up while they're turning in their Bibles, and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. All right. Let's pray. Hey, like the tie. Good job. Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity to have just lifted our voices in praise to you. And Father, I just thank you for the fact that you are worthy of all of our praise. Father, you are worthy of everything that we are. You are worthy of everything that we have. Father, you are worthy of our love. You are worthy of every expression of how we feel about you that we can give to you. And Father, I pray that as we praise you, not by lifting our voice, but by opening our ears and opening our hearts and opening our minds to what you have in store for us from your word. Father, I pray that it will be praise that is offered up to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. So today, we're going to be beginning a new series called Praising Our Way Through the Psalms. I knew Jared would like that. And by the way, Jared and I never talked about this is where I was going to head for several weeks. And so the music that he chose this morning was completely Spirit-led. And aren't you glad for that? It's not human intervention. It's not human plans. It's the Holy Spirit's plans. And while the book of Psalms may be one of the most popular books in the Bible, it is most often associated with worship and songs of praise. And because of that, The Psalms give us a very practical picture of praise. Some of these Psalms take us from the heights of joy to the depths of despair, using words that can serve as a pattern for our praise to God. Ambrose, a leader of the church from the 4th century, referred to the Psalms as the gymnasium of the soul. I kind of like that. You know, whenever I'm down, I turn to the Psalms. Whenever I'm celebrating, I turn to the Psalms. And it just exercises my spirit, and it helps me to be able to feel God's spirit a little bit more. Now, to launch us into more meaningful praise to God, both individually and as a church family, we are going to spend some time exercising. Get it? Gymnasium exercise? Okay. Some of you will get that after lunch. We're going to spend some time exercising praise to God as we look into selected psalms. So I'm not going to do an intensive study starting in Psalm 1 all the way to Psalm 50, where that's not my intent. I've selected some psalms that specifically deal with the idea of praise. And so we're going to be turning our attention to that. We're going to take a break for some Christmas messages here in a couple weeks, but then we're going to pick up this series in Psalms, and it's going to take us through the end of January. Then in February, the plan is we're going to start a sermon study from the book of Joshua. And of course, if Jesus comes today, it all goes out the window, right? And so, you know, it won't be my plans then, it'll be his plan. But that's okay. I think it's his plan that this is the way we're going to go. So my goal for this series on praise is that we will commit to make our hearts and our lives lighthouses of praise. Now, when it comes to our worship service, you know that both Jared and I believe that praise and preaching have equal importance. You can't separate one from the other. Everything that we do in our worship service is directed towards bringing glory to God. That's what praise is bringing glory to God. Every aspect of it, the way that we pray, the way that we fellowship, the way that we sing, the way that we give, every part of it, the way that you respond to the preaching of God's word, all of that is a part of our praise given to God. A.W. Tozer once said, which is more important to a bird, the right wing or the left? So here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, which is more important, praise or preaching? Well, you know what? They both have equal value because they all are used for us to be able to bring our praise to God. Now, I will know that this series has been effective when we can experience a revolution in our praise life. Now, some of you are going, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Pastor is really going off the deep end, right? Yeah, that's not the idea. I don't want to just give information about the Psalms. I want these selected Psalms to bring about spiritual life transformation. It may not make one dime's worth of difference in the way that we worship and the way that we praise in our services. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm more interested in you having a transformation in your spiritual life as a result of us focusing our attention for these next several messages on praise. I'm not interested in giving you a formula for praise. I'm not going to tell you have to do this or you have to do that or you can't do this or you can't do that. That's not what it's about. I want praise to become a reality in our lives, not a duty that we can never totally fulfill. And so as we sharpen our praise to God, may it bring about a praise revival in our hearts and lives. Jared, you can use that, a praise revival in our hearts and lives. And so hopefully by now you found Psalm 8 in your Bibles. So as I look at Psalms 8, I can just picture David, the writer of this psalm, gazing at the heavens as these words of praise start flowing from his heart. I'm going to read the whole psalm. Verses 1 through 9. Follow along as I read. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That as I read these verses and as I think about praise, there are two thoughts that capture my heart and my mind. And hopefully my goal is to have these verses capture your heart and mind in the same way. The first way is this: God is more valuable than anything. Let me say that again. God is more valuable than anything. Anything you and I can have, God is more valuable. Anything you and I can experience, God is more valuable. Anything you and I can listen to, God is more valuable. Anything you and I can watch, God is more valuable. Anything we can do, God is more valuable. You get the idea? God is more valuable than anything. How do we know that? By the first word. O Lord. Now, the word Lord here is the name Yahweh, which is the unspoken name of God, and it means the self-existed one. God didn't need to make this world. He didn't need to create this. He didn't need to create the vegetation. He didn't need to create the stars in the sky. He didn't need to create anything because he's the self-existent one. He didn't need to create animals. He didn't need to create you as a human being or me. He was getting along just fine before he decided to create all of this. Why? Because he has the word Jehovah tells us. He is the self-existent one. So he doesn't need us. But yet, because he created us, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we get a little bit farther into the message this morning. Because he created us with the capacity to be able to what? Worship. And to be a part of that worship is to be able to praise his name. He is worthy of all of our praise because he is Jehovah. The second use of the name Lord is the name Adonai. And this is the name that tells us that he is not just the self-existent one. He's the master of everything. But sometimes as human beings, we get a little bit too big for our britches. And we think it's all about us. We think this world exists for us. We think this world turns on us. We think we're the center of the universe. Guess what? We're not. We're not. Who is? He is. And that's why it's so important for us to understand the importance and the attitude and the action of praise, because praise deflects the attention from us to him. Aren't you glad for that? At least once a week, we're reminded that it ain't about us. Now, the world tells us it's about us. That's what TV commercials are all about. You can't live without this problem. You can't live without this thing. On my iPad, when I have my iPad going, there's ads that show up every now and then. And there's now this new ad for this little tiny box. It's about this big. And Jared, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called an Air Moto. Have you seen it? And so they tell you that when this thing is fully charged, you don't need to go to the gas station and put quarters in the air station. You don't need to go find a shop to be able to check the air in your tires. You can just do it with this little Air Moto. And I don't know how much it costs because it never tells me the price. But you can put it in your glove compartment. And on one charge, you can charge up all of your tires, all four of them. Wow, that's amazing, right? And how many people you could help as they're on the side of the road with a flat tire. You could just pull off to the side, pull out your air motor, plug it in, and screw it onto the tire, and there you go. Off it goes, right? And just inflates the tire. And it doesn't ever overinflate the tire because it stops when it gets to the right pressure that tire requires. I mean, this is so amazing. And every time I see it, it's like, I can't live without one of those. Oh, and you can also, whatever sports balls you have that need inflated, whatever other inflatables you have, you can use it to be able to inflate all of those. I mean, this is designed to make your life better. You can't live without this. That's what those commercials are designed to do, to show you you can't live without the stuff that they want you to think you can't live without. Guess what? You're not the center of the universe. God is. And he could have lived without you because he was doing just fine before he created the world and before he created us human beings. But he chose to create us. And there was a reason for that. Not because he was lonely, but it was so that he could love us. Isn't that good? So that he could love us. So that we could, in turn, praise him because he's the master of everything. And the phrase, our Lord, helps us to see that God is personally involved with us. God may be powerful, but he's also personal. And this makes him worthy of our praise. And God's name is majestic in all the earth. We sing that song, right? This means that his name, which stands for all that he is excellent and famous throughout the entire earth. There is no one else like him. He is omnipotent. That means all-powerful and unequaled. In fact, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11 says, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? And then David here concludes verse 1 by saying that God's glory is way beyond the heavens. The word glory here encompasses all of God's attributes. All of God's attributes without exception. And the word glory in the Hebrew means heavy. And it refers to the fact that God is weighty. Or in terms for us to be able to understand, he is awesome. So as David stares into the night sky, he was amazed by what he saw as God's glory filling the galaxy and beyond. When contemplating God's glory, Solomon writes something similar. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. Solomon says, the heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple that I have built. And then notice how in verse 2, David takes us from the heavens to one of the smallest things on earth. Look at what he says. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Now, I wonder if David's praise, as he was staring up into the heavens, as he was gazing at the stars that were innumerable in his sight, I wonder if David's praise at that time was interrupted by a baby's cry or a child's voice. And when you think of it, that's really cool. It's also cool that God's glory and his greatness that is above the heavens can be grasped and expressed by a child. You know, in all of my years of working with children, as I've been in ministry, it's interesting that children have a way of capturing spiritual truth in ways that amaze. Children have a wonderful ability to see things simply and literally. Here, back when Becky and I years ago were Awana missionaries, we were told of an illustration of this. There was an Awana leader that was working with some kids from the inner city in Chicago. And one of the boys had come, and that night he came to believe in Jesus as Savior. And the next week he brings a friend with him. And the friend is hearing about Jesus and hearing about the fact that he can believe in Jesus as Savior too. And when he believes in Jesus as Savior, he will be given this gift called eternal life. And not only that, but because he now has eternal life, his name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this new little boy was having a hard time trying to grasp what the Awana leader was trying to communicate. And he was just having this tough time. And so finally the Awana leader said to this boy's friend, "Tim, tell him what this means." So Tim looks at his friend who was there for the first night and said, "Here's what it means. When you believe in Jesus as Savior, he puts your name in his book. And it's there forever because he ain't got no eraser on his pencil." Isn't that kind of cool? Isn't that kind of cool? Isn't that what it's all about? Once we believe in Jesus as Savior, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible tells us, even Jesus himself said, there's nothing you can do to be able to what? Remove it. Because God doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. I love that. Don't you? From the voice of a child, from the heart of a child. And we see this every Thursday night as we minister to the children and teens in our Awana ministry, how God just helps them through his Holy Spirit to be able to understand spiritual truth. You know, our praise comes to God as a result that we have been made to worship, and it should be natural to give him our praise. Let me say that again. It should be natural to give him our praise. Now, even though I sit in the front and you all look at the back of my head, I know what's going on behind me. I know some of you are in tune. Some of you are singing. Some of you are trying to sing. And some of you, the last thing you want to do is sing. But you know what? It should be natural. And I know why some of you don't sing is because you don't want somebody standing next to you or sitting around you to be able to think, "Whoa, where's that terrible noise coming from?" Let me go back to what I said a few minutes ago. It ain't about you. It ain't about you. So what if you sing off key? So go ahead and sing anyway. And those of you who are sitting around people who are singing off key, let them. Because that's the way that they can praise. Let them. It's okay. Because someday when Jesus comes, either through the avenue of death or through the avenue of collecting us in the clouds, we're all going to have new bodies. And with those new bodies are going to come new voices, and every single one of us are going to sing on tune. I'm looking forward to that day. Some of you that have had to suffer with sitting within the front row with me, by the way, there's a reason why these seats up here are empty. Actually, there's more than one. The first reason is because Pastor sits there. Nobody wants to hear me sing. The other reason is because nobody wants to sit there. But let me tell you something. These are the most comfortable chairs in the whole sanctuary. They're not used. Exactly. This is the only one that's wore out. Because I've been sitting here for almost 12 years. I ain't moved, right? And so, you know, all the rest of them, nice, comfortable. Those of you that sit in the back, I feel sorry for you. Especially when the sermon goes a little longer because you have to sit on those uncomfortable chairs because they're so wore out. You get the idea, right? Praise ought to be natural. It should be natural for us to give him praise because of who he is. And all that is. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, David returns back to his attention to the wonders of the cosmos. "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." Wow. David is astonished at the greatness of a God who could create such things. Now, it is estimated, and I don't know how close it is to the correct estimation, but it's estimated that there are at least 10 billion galaxies in the universe. I can't even fathom 10 billion, let alone know that somebody's been able to count that high. It is estimated that there are at least 10 billion galaxies in the universe, with each galaxy containing perhaps 100 billion stars. And if that's true, God created every one of them. God created every one of those galaxies. God created every one of those stars. And David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. And this word fingers is incredible because it's a metaphor that was used for embroiderers. So what is that? What is David trying to get us to see? That God knit everything together, arranging all the planets and stars in such a way that would bring him the most glory. David only saw a fraction of this stellar display, and still he was overwhelmed with praise. When you look into the sky, what is it that you see? Last night, how many of you saw the moon? It was full. It was bright. It was beautiful. Against a dark sky, it was just gorgeous. How many of you went, oh, it's a full moon? That's why people were acting crazy today. Our response should have been, oh, look at what God created. Look at the gift that God has given to us. You know, when we look at the stars, when we look at the planets, when we have opportunity to be able to get to a telescope and we can look at the heavens, just that we are able to see, we ought to be praising God. That's what David did. David didn't have telescopes. They didn't come along till after David's time. Wow. Amazing, right? And the word consider here in verse 3 is the word to meditate. As David looks at the star-filled sky, he gives praise to God for his work. Your heavens, your fingers, which you have set in place. David is astonished at the greatness of God. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are best known as the first astronauts to land on the moon and to take that giant leap for mankind. What you may not know is that before they emerged from the spaceship, Aldrin pulled out a Bible, and as his first act on the moon, he broke bread and took a cup and celebrated communion. Frank Borman was commander of Apollo 8 and had the thrill of looking down on the Earth from 250,000 miles away. He radioed a message in which he and his fellow astronauts took turns quoting the opening verses of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He later explained, I had an enormous feeling that there had to be a power greater than any of us, that there was a God. And there was indeed a beginning. John Glenn said after his return to outer space 36 years from the first time he went into space, said this, to look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible. Being in space strengthens my faith. So do you see how in these first three verses of Psalm 8, David is helping us to see that God is more valuable than anything. More valuable than anything that we could see. More valuable than anything we could understand. And then from verse 8 down to verse 9, he wants us to understand the second thing. That you are valued by God. As David pondered God's power while viewing the heavens, his thoughts come back to earth. Look at what he says in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? David must have been thinking on this dark night on this little pebble of a planet, why would God even care about me? Listen, in God's eyes and in the heart of God, you are more special than a supernova. If there's anything more marvelous than the beauty and splendor of the universe, it's that in all of that wonder, you are valued by God. Now, the word in the Hebrew for man here is weak and frail. In the book of James, James tells us that our lives are like a vapor. Here one moment, gone the next. But even in the midst of that, God is mindful of us, meaning that he remembers us and he knows us. This is really a covenant term, indicating that God is committed to us and will never forget us. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says that God has promised he will never leave us, nor what? Forsake us. Why? Because we are valued by him. Because God loves us, and we are the pinnacle of his creation as human beings, he looks for ways to get close to us and to bring us his blessings. Why? Because we are valued by God. Now, I realize this morning that some of you sitting here may not believe that God thinks about you all the time. You might have a hard time understanding how he could love you because of all of the things that you have done. Can I just remind you this morning? There isn't anything that you could have done to keep God from loving you. There isn't anything that you could have done to be able to have that verse that he never leaves us nor forsake us not apply to you personally. And God demonstrated that by sending his son to go to the cross to pay your debt of sin, because there was no way you could pay it. He valued you. He valued me. He valued the whole world so much that he went to the cross to be our propitiation. He went to the cross so that we would know God's redemption. He went to the cross so that we would know God's salvation. He went to the cross so that we would know that when we believe in Jesus as Savior, eternal life with him is ours. If we weren't valued by him, he would not have done that. So no matter what you've done in your past, no matter what's been going on in your life, no matter what may currently be going on in your life, God values you. Don't ever doubt that. While you may be unworthy, as we all are, we weren't worthy of that love. We weren't worthy of that grace. We aren't worthy of that mercy. We're not worthy of that sacrifice. Even though we may be unworthy, we're not worthless. Let the truth of Psalms 139, verses 17 and 18, break through your guilt and shame this morning. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. How precious to me, the psalmist says, are your thoughts, O God. You know what this means? This means that you can't count the number of times that God thinks about you. No, wait a minute, Pastor. So this galaxy, this universe is so vast with galaxies and stars, and somebody has to sustain it. And so I understand that God sustains it. So how could he have time to be able to take care of all of that and think about me? Can I make it really simple for you? It's because he's God. It's because he's God. And we are the pinnacle of his creation. We are created above vegetation. We are created above stars. We are created above clouds. We are created above the sun and the moon. We are created above animals. We are created in God's image. No other part of God's creation can say that. Only us. Remember what it says in Genesis? And God said, let us make man in our own what? Image. He didn't say that about any other part of his creation. He said that about you. He said that about me. He said that about every human being from Adam and Eve on that has lived on this planet. Why? Because we are valued by God. I got into a discussion a couple weeks ago with somebody in one of my chapel services who made the comment, and this person was dead serious, that we're just like the animals. And this person said it about three times before I decided, yeah, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to let this go. And I said, no, we're not animals. We're not even close to animals. Because we've been created differently than the animals. And this person looked at me like, what universe are you from? And I said, the Bible makes it very clear that as human beings, God said, let us make man in our own image. And then he created humans. So we're not animals. We're not part of the animal kingdom. God valued us enough as human beings to create us, how? In his own image. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us what God does when he thinks about us. It says, the Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is what? With you. He is mighty to save. Oh, we sing a song about that too, don't we? He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you. Get this, with singing. God sings. Whoa. Can you imagine what God's voice singing would sound like? I can't. I'll tell you one thing. I know it's better than any singer that's ever lived here on the face of the earth. Because his voice is perfect. Because he's perfect. But when he thinks about you, when he thinks about me, he sings. Now you might be saying, well, yeah, but does he really know where I come from? Does he really know the things that I've done? Yes! Because he knows everything. Not only is he all-powerful, he's all-knowing. Nothing is hid from him, Psalms tells us. Nothing is hid from him. Not a thing. Does he know you? Yes. And in spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you may continue to do, God, when he thinks of you, he sings because you value to him. Now, don't ask me what song he sings because it doesn't tell us. But he sings because of you. He sings because of me. When God thinks about you, which he does all the time, he takes great delight in you and even breaks out in the song. Why? Because we are the pinnacle of his creative power. We see that in verses 5 through 8. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. We are who we are because we are valuable to God. We are created a little lower than the heavenly beings. In our Joy Bible study on Wednesday, we began a study on angelology. And during our time, those of you that were there remember this, we had a moment, right? And the moment, that moment was this, that all of the angels that have ever been created, whatever that number is, that number's never changed. Now, we started talking about faithful angels, and we're going to talk about unfaithful angels. Unfaithful angels are otherwise known as fallen angels. I don't really like that term, fallen, so I took the liberty to reclassify it as unfaithful angels. But it clearly tells us in God's word that all of the angels, both faithful and unfaithful, that he's ever created, that number today is still the same as the moment he created them. Now, some of those angels don't live in the same place that God intended for them when he created them. Because when Satan got prideful and decided he was going to be better than God, God cast him out of heaven and Satan took a third of the angels with him. But even those angels, none of their number has ever changed. Wow. Right? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever had that explained to you? Yeah, it was like, what? Okay. So God has made us a little lower than the heavenly beings, but yet we've still been crowned with glory and honor because we are the pinnacle of his creative power. God's plan for us was to make us co-regents, as he's called us to have dominion over flocks and herds, beasts of the field, birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. But there's always been a special place in the heart of God for humans whom he made superior to any other part of his earthly creation. And again, Genesis chapter 1, 26 makes it clear that we have been made in his image, and therefore we reflect his glory. Now there's a little issue with that, because we reflect his glory rather dimly because of this thing called sin. And there's one thing that you and I don't have dominion over, and it's you. It's me. Humans have never learned to subdue sin. It was unleashed into the human bloodstream by Adam and Eve, and it continues to infect lives today. That's the root of our human struggle. We are image bearers of God, and yet we're marred by the magnitude of sin. But pay attention to this. But when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we become who God has created us to be. Isn't that good? Because of what he did on the cross for us. And when we believe in what he did on the cross for us as he became our Savior, we become who God has created us to be. And because of that, we can declare like David, what he declared as he closes out Psalm 8. Look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So here's what I want you to remember this morning. Decide to live a life of praise to God. And if you're wondering, well, what are some of the things that I can praise God for? Let me just give you three for today. Praise him for his authority. Praise him for his authority. Because he is Lord, our Lord. Praise him for his word. Because it's in his word that we understand his greatness. It's in his word that we understand his goodness. It's in his word that the more that we learn about him, the more it ought to direct our lives and our hearts and our minds to praise. And then praise him for his purposes for your life. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Father, this morning we want to praise you for your authority over all of creation, which yes, includes us. We want to praise you for your word, which is truth. We want to praise you for your word that tells us who you are and tells us what your purposes and plans are for history past, history current, and history for the future. And Father, we want to praise you for your purposes in each and every one of our individual lives. You are of more value than anything. And us, we are valued by you. So, Father, this morning, we give you our praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, two things. Number one, would you stand with me for this last song? Number two, we forgot to take offering. My bad. So, don't feel obligated to give because I'm like, you have to give money. You don't have to give money. But if you would like to give an offering, use the box next to the door on your way out. And with that. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been
sing of the goodness.